Often it's said that Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the most powerful, if not the greatest preacher that ever preached the gospel in the English language. I don't know if that's true, but he certainly was magnificent. I had the joy last year, a year ago this month, being at Spurgeon's Tabernacle, seeing that great place where he preached. I read him about every week now, sermon or portion of one. I found this week an illustration from his life that really lays over on this third chapter of Galatians, and I think really grips it. Spurgeon said he was visiting one afternoon to a very poor lady's house. She had passed the age where she could be active working, and now she just lived in a little hovel of a poor place, loving Jesus, waiting for her king to come get her. The pastor said he visited and had a good visit, and as he was leaving, he said he noticed on the wall a little framed certificate. He asked her what it was, and she said, "Well, I'm not certain." I said, "Pastor, you know, I don't read real well. But I worked for many years for a gentleman, cooking, cleaning, taking care of things at the home and where he was. And when I died, they gave me this certificate and I placed it on the wall. Not really certain, just knowing it was something I wanted to keep." Well, the pastor looked at it and he said, "You don't understand. This man left everything he has to you. He's left the inheritance of all of his worldly goods, which was a great sum, to you." And he took it to the bank. And there they said, "Yes, we've been wondering about this account." She did not realize what she possessed. And I fear that we as the church, when it comes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we do not realize what we possess and who possesses us. Paul speaks to that in Galatians 3, beginning in verse 1, where he says this and he asks several questions. "You foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly betrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected in the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Having begun in the Spirit, are you so foolish to think that your spiritual life can be perfected in the flesh? Beginning in the Spirit, perfected in the flesh? Who bewitched you? Who made you believe such foolish logic? Did it come by law or did it come by faith? If you started by faith, you persist by faith. If your life begins in the Spirit, it goes on in the Spirit. Oh, like that lady who possessed wealth not knowing it, sometimes I fear the church possesses the power of God through the third person of the Trinity, and we really do not understand and know exactly who lives within us. God has called the church to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. But for the most part, we are living in the power of human flesh, of self-will, self-energy, and self-effort. You see, God wants you to be a living vessel in whom the power of the Holy Spirit is to be made manifest every hour and every moment of your life. And He will enable you for such. Having begun in the Spirit, we tend, all of us, to try to be perfected, to be matured, to grow up in the flesh. But we can't do it. Having started in the Spirit, if you're going to come to maturation, there must be a continuation of the Spirit life, not the perfection of the flesh. And so with that in mind, in Paul's questions, I want to just simply share four thoughts, principled thoughts, and ask you some questions as Paul has asked all of us, and then come to an invitation where I'm going to ask you to come down this aisle and get saved, to trust Christ. I said, "Preacher, I don't know if I can go." Then I'm going to ask you to go to the foyer, to go to those tables we call next step tables. You can do it there, you can do it here. Some of you to come and put your life in this church. You'll do it here, do it there. But I want you to think not so much about an external as an internal today. Four things. First of all, I just simply want to talk about the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Holy Spirit. Having begun in the Spirit. That's how you get saved, friend. It's salvation. It's a spiritual birth. You see, without the Spirit, you are none of His. If you have not the Spirit, you're not a child of God. Everybody that's a child of God started with a spiritual birth. Now, you've all been born of the flesh. I can tell that by looking at you. We all are of the flesh. We're physical. But have you then been born a second time of the Spirit? When you are born of the Spirit, that's when you receive the Holy Spirit. Now see, Thessalonians says that you are body, soul, and spirit. Paul prays for you to be sanctified of body, soul, and spirit. We are physical. We got that. That's us. That's our physical well-being. Secondly, we are soulish. We are mind, will, and emotion. We think. We choose. We feel. When you come into this world, you get all of that. As soon as they lay you up on your mother's chest, abdomen, and they pick you up, and they suction you out, and they whack you on one part of your body, we know you're alive. Because you're drawing air and making racket. Yes, sir. But you are dead in your spirit. We are all dead in trespasses and sin. You've been alive physically because you were born. You're alive psychologically when you come into this world. But you are dead in your spirit. You must be born again. My children taught me that. My grandchildren are now teaching me that. Little Catherine, she's 4 and a half, and I sent her a card this week with a little money in it. She called me and said, "Papa, thank you. I'm going to buy something really special." I said, "Well, you do that. That's good." And then her parents gave her a tithing lesson. She said, "You mean I have to give it away? If I give it all in the church, I can't buy something special." I said, "Well, you don't have to give it all. You give a tithe, you give a tenth." She wasn't having that. They said, "Well, tomorrow when you go to big church, you just put in what you want to give the Lord." She said, "I think I'll stay down in a preschool tomorrow during church." So that's where she is right now. She's down there in a preschool. See, she's not been born of the Spirit. She's alive physically. Her mind, will, and emotion working great. She's got all of that. But she does not see the spiritual sense that it is more blessed to give than to receive. One day we pray that the Spirit of God draws her, she hears, she believes, and that she is raised from the dead. As my pastor used to tell us, and you've seen me share this illustration again and again, he used to lay his arm upon the pulpit, and he'd say, when God saves us, he raises us from a dead level to a living perpendicular. And all the old people would say amen. I didn't know what perpendicular meant. I'm sitting back there, dead level lost. God will raise you to a living perpendicular. I said, what is that? Well, I had to go to school to find out what perpendicular was. God saved me. He raised me up to a living. That's what God does when he saves you. He comes and in your spirit, he moves in and you are literally raised from the spiritual death that you have from Adam, and God saves you. Glory be to his name. That's when you receive the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you're none of his. So I want to ask you this morning, do you have the Holy Spirit? If you're saved, you do. We've not understood this. Somehow we think we get it then, and we get saved by the Spirit. Then, okay, leave that alone, and now let's go over here to the flesh and be... No, friend, you're not perfected by the flesh. You're perfected. You're matured in the spiritual walk. The receiving of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, is what I call the neglecting the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that you can... receive and begin by the Spirit, but then be perfected by the flesh? No. You see, the flesh is seeking God in an external observance rather than in the inner man. A lot of people, they get saved, they cry out to God, they squall and holler and get saved. Oh, God! And they'll do anything for Jesus to save them. Then they rise up and they begin to think that external observances will do what only the Spirit can do in an internal way. Baptism, thank God for it, for those that were baptized today. Oh, I had reminders when that sweet little girl's foot came up. I used to baptize over. That's the reason we have that baptizing contraption that I invented up there now. You baptized a guy 6'6 over in Passmore Hall one time, and I baptized him. He wore red socks. I put him under the water, and both socks came up. Man, it's like flags waving over there, and the place went crazy laughing. Embarrassed him and me. You never know, as John said. But let me tell you, that external observance, you ought to do it. But that is not. It's your submission of the inner man that grows you. It's not external observance. Some people say, well, they take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We ought to take the Lord's Supper. But I'm telling you, those external observances will not do what the Spirit of God and God alone can do in the inner man. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Listen to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, Paul said, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh, as infants in Christ. The reason I couldn't talk to you as grown spiritual men is because you're in the flesh. And your flesh is just seeking the external rather than the internal. We receive the Holy Spirit. Secondly, there's the neglecting of the Spirit. Thirdly, there's the lacking of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Lacking the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, you've got your Bible open to Galatians 3. If you got your Bible open to Galatians 3, say amen. Amen. All right. Now, take it and turn two pages to Galatians 5 for most of you. Others, it'll just be you got to kind of run your finger across, and it'll go over to Galatians 5 in your iPad or your phone or whatever you got. Galatians 5. Now, I'm going to begin reading at verse 16. This won't come up on the screen, so you find it in your Bible. Galatians 5. Now, Paul begins to deal with this issue. Now, here we go. Galatians 5, 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, there it is in a nutshell. Walk in the Spirit, you don't carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh rests its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They oppose one another. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, and then he lists them: immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. There are others of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are fleshly people. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Look at verse 24. Read it one more time. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Listen to me, friends. Listen. The flesh, the Spirit, sets itself at opposition. And don't be so foolish as to think you can begin in the Spirit and be perfected in the flesh. But the church does it so much. Saved by grace, Jesus alone, the Spirit, and then go do the best you can. No, friend, don't do the best you can. You got to let Jesus do his best through you, but you got to get over you. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 says it as crystal clear as it can. Now, those who belong to Christ have improved the flesh? No. Taught the flesh? No. Trained the flesh? No. What'd they do? They crucified it. Your flesh does not need training. Your flesh does not need improvement. Your flesh needs to be slain. Dead to yourself. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Loved me and gave himself for me, Paul said in that classic passage in Galatians 2:20. It's the exchanged life. It's the Spirit-filled life. Some call it the deeper life, the higher life. It's the Jesus life. It's the Spirit life. What makes the church different than any other organization? It's a spiritual organization. It's the inner man. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, Paul said it this way. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those for those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. There is a law of the Spirit. There's a law of sin and death. You got to decide which law you're going to be under. Don't let someone bewitch you to think you can just do the best you can do. This is a spiritual journey. It is the inner man. So we see that we receive the Spirit when we're saved, but we're not careful. We'll neglect the Spirit, and therefore we will not have the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Just begin with the first trilogy. Oh, man. Love. You have trouble loving anybody? There's some people it's harder to love than others. Amen? Well, sure, we know it's a truth. Joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, says the King James Version. That's what the kingdom is. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Not joy in the flesh. A lot of things give you joy in the flesh, but I'm telling you, it's joy in the Holy Spirit. It's the deep inner man. That's where your joy comes from. Love, joy, peace. It passes all worldly, all fleshly understanding. Sometimes we lack the fruit of the Spirit. Well, we receive it. If we're not careful, we neglect it. Then we'll lack. But now I want to show you, you say, Pastor, how in the world do we walk in the Spirit life? Well, there's a key word, and that word is yielding to the Holy Spirit. We must come to the place of yielding. The Lord loves to fill his children with the Holy Spirit. It's a command in Ephesians 5:18 to be you filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look in Ephesians 3, verses 14 and 15. where the Word of God says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name, that He would grant you," now look at this, look at it, it's on the screen, "He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through the flesh," no, His Spirit. In the outer man, no. You're strengthened in the Spirit, in the inner man. Listen, the Spirit of God leads us to faith by driving us out of self-confidence. Listen to me one more time. The Spirit of God leads us to faith by driving us out of self-confidence. Now, beloved, you're looking right here at grade A flesh. It's not the B team standing up here, all right? It's grade A flesh. So I've been to school. I got a high school diploma. I've been to junior college. I got a diploma. Matter of fact, I was the most outstanding student award my sophomore year, junior college. I got the trophy at home. It was a lean year at Northeast Junior College. But the best we had, you're looking at him. Off to Samford University. Nobody in my family had ever gotten a college degree. I got one of those. I went off to Southwestern. I got a master's degree. Shoot, I hung around and got a doctor of ministry degree. I'm not stupid. I'm not. Two people agree with me, amen. See, I'm not the sharpest guy, but I've honed my sword. I've tried to take my craft and do it, and I've worked hard as I know how to work. But now let me let you on something. I've done this so long. Wayne, tell you it's the truth. I've done this so long, I can come preach to you next Sunday and never pray not 1 minute. I can just throw the Bible open, so I take that text right there. I know enough expositional, theological training to make a sermon, throw a little story in over here. And I can move you intellectually. Not all of you, but some of you. But I never, when I ever fall into that, I always remember T.P. Germany. T.P. Germany was a deacon at a church, not my home church, but he came to my ordination. Brother T.P. was missing a finger. He put his arm around me at that ordination. He said, "Young man, I want to tell you something. Don't you ever forget this." I said, "Yes, sir, Brother Germany." He said, "Just remember, you got your burning before you got your learning." I said, "What?" He said, "You got the fire of the Holy Ghost before you ever get a diploma. Don't let the diploma lead you to forget the fire of the Holy Ghost." He said, "You got your burning before you got your learning." He said, "Now go to school." He said, "We have an ample supply of stupid preachers. We don't need any more. You need to go learn all you can learn. Get it in your mind, throw it out the window, and go back and get on your face and say, 'Oh, God, set my soul afire.'" It's not either or. But I'm just telling you, the better your flesh becomes. See, Southern Baptists used to do a better job with evangelism when we was a bunch of ignorant knotheads. And now we know so much that we think we can plan it and figure it out. Who bewitched you to think that you could begin in the Spirit and be perfected in the flesh? Last few days, I've been coming over here early and walking around our campus. Walk outside, then I come inside and walk. I prayed to them. I said, Lord God. I said, if you ever get in all this stuff we got, we liable to have revival. It's easy to get caught up in external excellence and forget the internal power of the Holy Spirit of God. We must yield and come to the end of our self-confidence. I'm not telling you throw away all you. You heard me say balance. But it's just easy. The smarter you get, the less you depend on the Spirit of God. Yes, sir. Man, you know God in a minute. What he can do. You take old Saul of Tarsus. He's walking down the road. He's mean as hell. He is absolutely foaming blood and killing the church in persecution, and the Spirit of God strikes him. And in one minute, he's cursing Jesus and killing the church. In the very next breath, he's saying, yes, Lord, speak. That's what God can do. Boom. All right, now I have entered into the conclusion of the sermon. All right? Just so you know, I've got an outline. I want everyone in here, I don't want anybody to leave. I want you to stand up. I want everybody to stand. Now, you're going to stand up for just a few minutes because I want you to stand during this. This is not, we're not over. This is not time to grab your coat and run to the car. We have now entered the conclusion of the sermon. That's a real part. And in the conclusion, I want to ask you three questions. Ask us all three questions. And I want you to seriously consider these. Number one, have you been born of the Spirit? Have you been born of the Spirit? That's your salvation. That's your spiritual birthday. I didn't ask you if you was a member of Olive Baptist Church. I didn't ask you if you'd been baptized. I didn't ask you if you'd joined the church. I ask you, have you been born of the Spirit? That is a moment in time when God stepped out of heaven and stepped into your inner man. He forgave your sin and he raised you from a dead level to a living perpendicular. You probably didn't understand everything that happened to you then, but your sins were wiped away and God received you into the family. And no matter what you did, God cast it as far as the east is from the west. And he put his spirit within you. Have you been born of the Spirit? Friend, if you have never been born of the Spirit, I'm begging you. When John sings in a minute and I stand here, I want you to come from wherever you are and join me. I want to talk to you this morning. One of our encouragers talked to her. Oh, after this service, I want you to go to one of those tables out there at Next Steps. I want you to talk to somebody so you can be born of the Spirit. Saved. Question number two. If you have been born of the Spirit, are you right now living under the authority and the power of the Spirit? Are you living under His authority? I'm going to tell you what happens when you begin to live under God's authority and power. You begin to obey what He says to do. For some of you, that's as easy as joining this church, putting your membership here. So I don't hear the Spirit of God. Well, then don't come. But if God's told you this is where you ought to be, then you ought to come. Some of you, it has to do with finance. For some of you, it has to do with forgiving a brother or sister. Some of you, it has to do with speaking up in a difficult circumstance and bringing the name of Christ. For some students, it's going to mean standing for the Lord. We're living in a day where public education, it's harder and harder for students as well as faculty. You saw where the football coach in Birmingham, Washington was fired, and then continued to be this week. All he did is after every game, he'd go to the 50-yard line, kneel down. They fired him. Somebody said, well, why didn't he just quit? Well, that might be your counsel, but if the Holy Ghost told him not to quit, he didn't have any choice. Well, he had a choice, but it was a bad choice. I don't know what God said or said to do or not do, but that was simply being obedient. Are you living under the... I had a deal, been wrestling with it for 2 months. I took action on it this week. I really believe I got clarity. And I knew my wife wouldn't like it. And so I did it. Waited 2 days and told her. I did. Just at what I sensed was the right time, I said, honey, won't you know this is the action I've taken? And she said, well, that doesn't just thrill me, but if God told you that's what you ought to do, and I'm in submission to my husband and our family, and that certainly is under biblical guidelines, you've done the right thing. It's one of the tougher decisions I ever made in my life. I believe God will get great fruit from it. But I heard God. Are you living under the power of the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm not talking about living in perfection. I don't live in perfection. Man, I wrestle with that. But when you know what God's told you to do, can you just say, okay, as I'm standing here right now, when I know what I'm supposed to, I do it. Number three. If you're not walking under the obedience of God, number three, are you willing this Sunday morning to be consecrated unto Christ and the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to say, I surrender all? Boy, what a great song the choir did. I love that old hymn. Were the whole realm of nature mine, it would be a present far too small to give back. He doesn't ask for all of nature. He's just asking for all of you. Are you willing to be consecrated unto the Lord? If you've never been spiritually born, I want you to come get saved. Are you willing to live under the power of the Holy Spirit in obedience? There was a girl that came in the first service, and I saw her standing over here, and my mouth just fell open. I couldn't believe she came forward. I've been praying for her. Some of her family and I have been praying for her. She said, my family's not here today. I said, I know where they are. She said, I was coming to church this morning. I told the Lord, I'm ready to get serious. I'm going to recommit my life to Christ, and I walk in here, and you preach that sermon. She said, I thought I can't go down there. They're just going to think I'm playing games. She said, Pastor, God spoke to me early this morning. I've been in the far country, and I'm coming under the authority of God today. Wow. I walked right up there and sent a text to her family members. I said, while you were away, is what happened this morning. Are you willing to be consecrated? Death to self. Oh, self dies hard, doesn't it? Likes to rear his head. He says, I'm right. Not asking if you're right, asking if you're obedient. People, I talked with a family this week, found them to church, and I told some people about it. I said, Pastor, I don't know. I said, I don't know if you want to do that or not. I said, those folks said, first time they get their feelings hurt, you don't do something, they'll just complain and bellyache. You may not want them to be around. I said, oh, they'll fit right in with our crowd. I didn't get my way. Friend, we don't death to self. There's a way to make an appeal about something that's wrong. But it's not about you. When you're dead to you, all's well. I am Christ. crucified with Christ. I said it when I was 17, first time, then we sing. Lord, I go anywhere, I do anything, I give up anybody, give up anything, or being a sinner, you will. That was easy to pray. 17, didn't have anything, never been anywhere, had done nothing. But now I pray that prayer this morning. Lord, I go anywhere. Really? I'd do anything. Really? I give up anybody? Give up anything in order to be in the center of God's will? That's where you got to be. You got to lay that on the altar of consecration. Self must be slain for the Spirit to rule.